The following program is intended for mature audiences.
Gentlemen, gentlemen, let's get down to business.
Can you dig it?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the queue. My name, of course, is Mark Bland, and we are hailing from the great city of St. Louis, Missouri, the gateway to the West. And I am actually sitting in the studios of Too Heavy to Skydive. The TSA is getting all up in our business again. Whoa. If you like loose women and the ability to be nondiscreet while you travel, you might like this new website that they've just put out on the market. And, of course, we got a couple letters from the listeners, but without any further ado, he's a big fan of professional sports. He comes in at a whopping 6 foot 10, 295,000 pounds.
Ding, ding.
And he could have easily beat Thunder Lips in Rocky 1-3. It doesn't matter. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the queue, Fred Slow.
Mark, thanks for thanks for letting me come on. Thanks for coming down to the studio. Thanks for slumming with me.
Slumming with you? I don't think that I would necessarily consider this slumming, Mr. Fred. But thank you so much for being a part of the queue tonight. And as well, thank you for having us here at the Too Heavy to Skydive studio. You can check out their stuff at TooHeavyToSkydive.com. Unfortunately, we had an unforeseen circumstance with our computers over at iWatch. So we had to make the move over here for the night, which is not a problem. You know, great people at iWatch Radio. Make sure you check out all their great shows at iWatchRadio.com. But tonight, we're at the Too Heavy to Skydive studios, and we have a definite false sense of self-worth, which is kind of beautiful. It's just kind of a beautiful thing to have.
It's kind of a mindset that I know.
It's almost as if you were a Blues hockey player, a terrible false sense of self-worth. Like, you beat a mediocre. Like, now, everybody knows I am by far the biggest Philadelphia Flyers fan in the world.
That's what Facebook tells
and
me.
And we definitely turned away the molester-stashed Sidney Crosby just this past weekend very quickly, which was kind of nice. Kind of nice to do that. But then the Blues come through, of course, with their mediocre winnings of the playoffs. They beat San Jose.
Go Fish.
Which is, yeah, exactly. That's it. Go Fish. Like, who's that? They're actually going to get a challenge in the next round. Probably, who are they playing in the next round?
Kings?
Do we know?
L.A.?
It is the L.A. Kings. You're right. They are correct. The L.A. Kings. The team that took that horrible hockey player, Wayne Gretzky, off our hands after a season.
He's not still there?
He might be. I don't know. I don't even care. Doesn't really matter, because they're not going to get past the Kings. But if they get past the Kings, which I expect the Blues to make it. I expect the Blues to make it to the Western Conference Finals.
They're due, right?
I think that they're due.
Right.
And, you know, here's the thing. Everybody's like, oh, you're a Blues hater. I'm not a Blues hater. I live in St. Louis. I grew up around the Blues and their fans and their Cardinals fans, too. Not a big fan of the Cardinals. Not a horrible fan of the Cardinals. Like, I'm not against the Cardinals. They're like my second favorite baseball team. You know what I'm saying? Boston Red Sox being my number one. Yes. Yeah, that happened. 4-0. Don't forget. It was a sweep. It happened.
Oh, I thought you were talking about this season when they were second to last in the entire Major League Baseball.
Are they second to last currently?
Only the Royals are worse. So.
Than the Cardinals.
Than
the Boston Red Sox. Yeah, I know. I know that the Red Sox are doing pretty horrible. They are.
Most of their payroll is sitting on the bench.
It's very possible. You know, listen, but then again, it's the Kansas City Royals. Why can't Kansas City get out of it?
They haven't got out of it since 85 when...
Like when they had fantastic luck and won.
Who's the third
baseman?
Who's the third baseman? Schmidt? Not Schmidt. Brett.
George Brett.
George Brett.
With the pine tar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
he's
it.
Great.
That's
but he's the king, dude. George Brett?
I don't have a problem with him. 12-time All-Star?
12-time All-Star.
Right, too good.
That's good.
Right.
That's a good thing to have.
He's the best. Like
not Gary. I would say that he's the best, but he's solid.
Some might say at third base he is the best. I would say Gary Gaetti, but others would say
the Rat? The Rat?
You wouldn't say that?
The Rat?
Right.
Yeah, the rat be rocking it over there? Is that what you're trying to say?
I feel like that's him.
Who would you say the best shortstop in the history of baseball has been?
Ozzie.
Would you really honestly say it was Ozzie Smith?
The Wizard. Oh, no, if you go way back, it's probably Rizzuto, Roger Hornsby.
I don't know. I think I mean, those guys might have been stronger on the baseball aspect of offense than Ozzy was.
Game was played different then.
But the same point, Ozzy was consistent. Ozzy was consistent, and he was very good at the defense.
The thing about Ozzy and yeah, the defense, it's he played for 7 years, then he did his rotator cuff, and then he played for 10 more years at the same level. Right. For 10 years, he couldn't whip the ball across the diamond, but he still whipped it across the diamond. It just shows, like, his... And maybe he dove for a ball that other guys could get to, like your Barry Larkins or whatever at the time.
Right.
But... excellent fielder, just in a showboat, and that sells the sport. Like Mark McGwire hit 70 in say baseball. Ozzy did the same thing to defense that Mark did for offense.
Now, if you guys want to join us on the live chat right now, you're more than welcome to do it. TooHeavyToSkydive.com is where you can go to watch the show. Also, you can go to stickem.com. That's stickam.com/TooHeavyToSkydive. That's TOOHeavyToSkydive.com. Not .com, but Too Heavy to Skydive. And that's where you can, and you can log in with your Facebook or Twitter.
Yeah.
You know, and you can live chat with us right now if you got questions or anything like that. Let's talk a little bit about this. Go Flyers. yeah, seriously. Because if the Blues run into the Philadelphia Flyers in the championship, I'm gonna whoop that ass with the Flyers. That ass is gonna get whipped.
I'm trying to name one player.
From who? Yamir Yager?
Eric Lindros?
Nope.
Nope.
That's in the past. That's in the past. Doesn't matter.
That's all I got is Lindros.
Hartnell. All kinds of good players. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
The team's going to whoop that ass. And I will post it. Like, but, you know, I made a bet with my one friend who lives across the street from me. I told him that if he gets tickets, if the Philadelphia Flyers play the Blues in the championship, and he gets tickets to the game here in St. Louis, I will wear my Philadelphia Flyers jersey. And then if the Philadelphia Flyers lose, I'm going home on the Metrolink wearing my Philadelphia Flyers jersey.
Well, and riding the Metrolink alone is foolish. But then...
Yeah, of course. Right. I mean, it is the Metrolink. There's nothing good about it.
I didn't know about the Flyers until I watched Boy Meets World growing up, and it was based out of Philadelphia, and he wore a Flyers jersey. Boy Meets World did.
Right. Of course he did.
That's
Topanga. Topanga?
Oh, my God.
Who didn't like Topanga?
I still think about her.
Oh, yeah. She's hot. She was cute back then.
Too cute.
Weenie Cooper also, from when I was growing up.
Right.
On,
Wonder Years,
yeah. Winnie Cooper was hot. All right, let's talk a little bit about this TSA situation. Airport security screens are a singularly harrowing ordeal for a 7-year-old Dinah Frank, who suffers from cerebral palsy and requires crutches and leg braces to move around. Compound that with the fact that Dinah is developmentally disabled, and the need for care and sensitivity on the part of the TSA agents becomes that much greater. Obviously, because you have a young child, 7 years old, with cerebral palsy, stuck in a wheelchair, developmentally disabled, can't move around and do anything, okay? But that was definitely not the concern, Fred, for the transportation security officers at JFK, who reportedly forced Dinah to undergo a prolonged and aggressive screening that caused the girl and her family to miss their flight. Okay. As her medical aides require her to submit to a physical pat-down, Dinah's mom, Marcy, attempts to alleviate her daughter's anxiety by asking agents to introduce themselves on the video that was taken. But the TSO on duty in their this past Monday were exceptionally aggressive, according to Dinah's dad, Dr. Joshua Frank. After he began recording footage of the screening with his iPhone, one of the agents started screaming at me and cursing me and threatening me, he told The Daily out there. A supervisor had determined that the simple inspection of Dinah's crutches would be sufficient, but the call later was reversed by a manager who ordered that Dinah be returned to the security area for a full pat-down. 7 years old, in a wheelchair with cerebral palsy, probably holding onto her Hello Kitty doll. Okay? She's not got a freaking turban on. She's not coming through JFK with bombs planted all over a wheelchair. And who's going to strap bombs to a 7-year-old with cerebral palsy's wheelchair? Nobody. Nobody's doing it anytime soon. Unless this was Iraq or Iran. Unfortunately, it was JFK. No.
I'm not a bigot or a racist.
Right.
It was said best the other day by my friend Neil. I am racist to the Taliban.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Okay.
I think that they've given you a reason to be racist to an extent. Now, I'm not racist in general. I love all men, and I don't think every single person who's from that part of the world is a bad individual by any means whatsoever. But at the same point, I think that they've done enough to make certain people, if they feel like they want to take that racist tone, that racist aspect, they're more than welcome to. I'm not going to knock them for it. Hurrying towards their gate with Dinah in a wheelchair, the family arrived too late to board their JetBlue flight to Florida and had to be put on the next plane out. They're harassing people, said Dr. Frank. This is totally misguided policies, added Miss Frank. They still attack her like she's Osama bin Laden. It's not fair. Dinah was recently the subject of a far more positive news story regarding the first unassisted steps she took following a revolutionary new procedure involving injections of Penol and Botox. So kind of a double-edged sword for this young girl, you know? And I think that that's my biggest problem that I have with this whole TSA thing, okay? 2001, 9/11 happens.
Right, I was there.
We change it all up. We change up everything. You can't, like, I remember when I was a kid going to the airport. You could actually go to the main gates and kiss mommy goodbye at the gate before she gets on the plane, and then you could watch mommy's plane taxi away on the runway and then take off. Now, can't do that no more. You just can't do that no more at all. Ain't gonna happen. Now you got to stop at the security gate, and only if you got a ticket can you get through. So, like, you don't even get to watch mom fly off anymore, dad fly off anymore. No. It's ridiculous. Then, on top of it, if it's more than 3 ounces of liquid or whatever, you got to throw that out.
Right.
You can't have a lighter. You can't have a this. How about you give me a lighter and a knife so that if a crazy douche decides to get on the plane and try to take out the cockpit, I can use my lighter or my little knife to stab the guy and kill him so he doesn't kill all of us.
I hear you, Mark.
And you're I don't get it.
And we do a lot of things together, but outside of this, you are my friend. But I remember 9/11.
Man, that's... It's,
like, you have to do these things.
I think you do have to do these things, but at the same point, there is a certain level that needs to be... Okay, if the guy's walking through the airport, okay, he looks like he's of Middle Eastern descent.
Sure.
He's on his phone and the words bomb and this are being thrown out of his mouth. I can completely understand everything.
Yes.
That you would think of, okay, we need to do a body cavity search on this guy. He's not going on his plane. Pull him off to the side. Now, if a guy just looks Middle Eastern and he happens to be standing in line with his briefcase and, you know, he's talking on his iPhone and then he hangs it up, you know, and he pulls his iPad out and he's looking through the news stories and stuff like that. Yes, there are those people that exist, but in most cases, if he's dressed relatively nicely, he's probably not going to be blowing up any planes anytime soon. Probably not. We know where the crazy dudes are, okay? We know where they are. There's a lot of them. You know, they blew up a federal building in Oklahoma City, and that dude was a white American. Yeah, Timothy McVeigh, remember him? White American.
I'm not going to, Oklahoma City, a whole nother, because you can't do anything about that. And I feel like, obviously you can do something about that. But I think there's a list, and there's like a list of people that you suspect will blow up planes or attempt to blow up planes, and you, as the government, know where they are all the time.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not a 7-year-old in a wheelchair.
It's not.
I'm sorry. I don't care who you are. If I'm the manager of that TSA situation, I'd be like, check her crutches and we're done. That's it. That's all I'd say. If they even brought me over to like, we think... I would take a look at the crutches if I felt, once I looked at the crutches, that there was some reason, you know. But if mom and dad looks like, you know, he gives me a card that says Dr. Frank whatever.
Right.
Mom's standing right there. Dude's not blowing his whole family up just to take out that plane.
Now, all right, I'm more on your side now. I try to play devil's advocate, not because I think I'm right, but because I'm kind of a jerk. But if it's crutches and not a wheelchair, that's a whole other thing. Like, it's...
Well, yeah. But remember, the story said they started off with the crutches. They checked the crutches, and they went to a pat down on her in the wheelchair.
Oh, okay.
Because I guess she has assisted crutches for helping her walk
a little
bit. So, but that's my point. Like, no 7-year-old with cerebral palsy is, you know, setting up for bombs. She's watching Hello Kitty videos. She's watching Strawberry Shortcake, and she's just excited to be going to Florida. Maybe she's going to see Mickey Mouse. Okay?
I took that trip.
She doesn't want to get killed. No.
No.
She's not too heavy to skydive.
Have you ever been to
But with the wheelchair, she might be.
Have you ever been to JFK?
No, I've never been to JFK.
We flew through there whenever for our honeymoon. We went to New York. And
you went to New York for your honeymoon?
Yeah, we liked to party.
And how was that?
Well, I mean, we had a blast. Every tourist thing you can see, we saw.
Were you party rocking?
In the house tonight.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah.
No, we were. Except at the time we went, it was the same time that Jay-Z and Alicia Keys' New York song came out.
Oh, so you were playing that the whole time?
The entire time.
That's nice. It was like a soundtrack to your honeymoon.
It was like whenever I graduated high school and moved to California.
Yep.
And I kept playing this song to the OC.
Oh, okay. I get you.
Yeah. Weird.
Don't care about that.
Nope,
the OC
sorry.
Was a horrible show.
Well.
And we're glad that it was brought off the air.
MTV soundtracks are decent.
Well, you know. All right. Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney claims victory in 5 more states and tries to corner Barack Obama at the same time. Mitt Romney will declare victory himself to be the Republican Party's nominee in a much-anticipated speech in Manchester, New Hampshire, headlined with this quote, A Better America Begins Tonight. According to excerpts released by Romney's campaign, the former Massachusetts governor will try to define the 2012 election as a referendum on whether voters are better off than they were 4 years ago. It's still about the economy, and we're not stupid, Romney will say. Romney will also seek to reclaim the message of fairness from President Barack Obama, framing Obama as someone who blames people for their successes. I see children even more successful than their parents, some successful even beyond their wildest dreams, and others congratulating them for their achievements, not attacking them for it, he will say, drawing a contrast with Obama at every turn. Okay, I'm going to address some of these things here in just one quick second. We will stop the unfairness of urban children being denied access to the good schools of their choice. The unfairness of politicians giving taxpayer monies to their friends' businesses. The unfairness of requiring union workers to contribute to politicians not of their choosing. The unfairness of government workers getting better pay and benefits than the taxpayers they serve. And we will stop unfairness, one generation passing larger and larger debts on to the next. Running as a Mr. Fix, Romney will sum up his message. I have a simple message, ladies and gentlemen. Hold on a little longer. A better America begins tonight. The challenge for Romney now is putting the primary behind him and getting his new message to the masses, Fred. While the Romney will declare himself to be the nominee tonight, his remarks will not be carried live on network television, sources say. That's because you are what we consider, in my opinion, unimportant. You're just unimportant, dude. That's why they're not going to run your stuff tonight. Even Fox News isn't going to run your comments. And they're a completely Republican thing. You know why? Because you're unimportant. You are what we consider a non-issue when it comes to this presidential election. Spokespeople for NBC News, CBS News, and ABC News also said the networks are not breaking into regular scheduled program to broadcast Romney's remarks. Well, first off, if Romney was smart, he would embrace social media and the internet to take his message to the masses. That's literally what he would do. One, that would show that he's on the same level with Barack Obama, who had a Twitter page and had a Facebook page and all that during his first campaign in 2008. Now, let's go back into this whole situation, Fred. I've got to talk a little bit about this whole... the first thing, we're better off than we were... he's going to ask whether voters are better off than they were 4 years ago. Okay.
That's a legitimate
question.
Let's
talk.
That's a legitimate question.
Let's talk.
All right.
4 years ago today would have been, what is today, April 23rd, 24th, something like that?
Sure.
April 23rd, 24th, 2008.
Yes.
Yes. That means that we are 2 months away from the highest gas prices in the history of our country. $4.05 a gallon in St. Louis. How much was it here? Like $4.15, $4.20 on this side of the river?
Yeah, I buy it in St. Louis.
Yeah, it was like $4.20 on the Illinois side of the river. Other states were paying almost $6 a gallon. So, as of April of 2008, Barack Obama was just running to be president of the United States. He wasn't president.
Keep going.
Guess who was president?
George
Republican, right. GOP conservative Bush was the president. He had been president for 8 years. 8 years of him putting his policies in, sending people over, dealing with a war that he didn't ask for. I agree with that.
Two
you
wars.
Know what I'm saying?
Two wars, even.
I would say, yeah, okay, sure, if you want to go down that road. But regardless, yeah, the war on terror, that's like the war on love. I get it. You know, it's not going to ever get fixed. It doesn't make sense. But my point is that we were walking into the worst summer, literally financially, of our entire history.
And the Red Sox just won the World Series.
Next to the Dust Bowl and Black Friday from the 1920s and 30s. That's right.
Back.
Yeah, the Great Depression. We're walking into one of the worst recessions. I don't see us walking into a recession right now. Like, Fred, financially, the world's not a great financial place. But don't you think that personally, in your opinion, and I'm just asking you, you can see, you can agree or disagree. It's your choice. Right here live on the show.
Keep going.
Do you feel that we are in as bad a situation right now in April of 2012 as we were looking forward to in the summer of 2008? Do you feel that we're in that same... Now, we have higher gas prices than we did last year and the year before, but we're not at $4 a gallon yet. We've gotten close. We're getting up there. But I'm not blaming Barack Obama for this. Where do you think, Fred? Do you think you're there?
I think...
Yeah, be honest. If you're a conservative, you're a conservative. Be honest with it.
It's almost one of those things where, yeah, things will get better, but things were so bad.
Things were really bad.
Right. So, yeah, I want to say, yes, I'm optimistic. Yes, things will get better, but they can only get better.
Like, do you think it's because of Barack Obama or because of Mitt Romney? No. It's because once you hit rock bottom, you can only go up from there. Have we hit in rock bottom Great Depression style? No, we didn't hit rock bottom Great Depression style. But I think a lot of things that happened, the bailouts, I guess they did work a little bit. Were they 100% successful? Probably not. Would I agree that to say that they were probably relatively successful compared to, oh, I don't know, non-bailouts? Yeah. Yeah, they were. Because they got the car makers that paid all their monies back, and they got everything running on that side. But here we are again in 2012 looking at $4 gas prices, potentially $5 gas prices this summer. Different president, different background. So you can't blame Barack Obama and the Democrats. You can't blame George Bush and the Republicans. Same situation 4 years later. Two different sides of the aisle.
I dare you to tell me it's everyone's fault.
Could be.
Has to be, right?
I wouldn't say it's everyone's fault, but I would definitely say the if you don't go over into Middle Eastern companies and rattle bird cages of people that just don't like you already, they're probably not going to stick it to you in the boardroom when it comes to these oil prices and things. What do you think? Like, you're told not to go back to the bar where you got into a fight a few weeks ago. So what do? You go back to the bar. The chances of getting into another fight or them having you arrested or problems coming from that
right.
are pretty good. Same idea. You went into a country that, yeah, technically they attacked you, but it was a war on terror, remember? We went after Osama. We couldn't find him, so we went after Saddam Hussein. Got him, killed his kids, all this. Still didn't find Osama bin Laden. Didn't find Osama bin Laden until George Bush was already out of presidency and Barack Obama was the president for a while. Okay, but my point is that you go rattling bird cages in places you're not welcome. Yeah, they're going to find ways to screw with you. Fred, you got enemies?
I've been thrown out of a bar.
You've been thrown out of a bar. Did you like the people that threw you out of the bar?
I went back to that bar with more friends.
Yeah, like, you did. You did. And what happened?
Well, I mean, we got thrown out again, but I was there again.
Yeah, that's great. And did you go back again?
Well, no, I mean, my friends weren't going to go back again.
Okay. So basically what you're telling me is that you manned up twice in a row, but the end result was the same in both cases.
Every time.
Night where you get thrown out of a bar and it doesn't end good.
Every time.
Do you see what I'm saying? There's no good ending in any of your story. It sounds great. We manned up. We got some pipes and some broken glass bottles and we went back to the bar to take care of business. But then when it was all said and done, you got kicked out again. Everyone's like, dude, that sucked. I would have rather been just in the bar partying and talking to chicks and drinking.
There's another bar down the street.
Of course. There's always another bar. You can always go to another country and create problems like Afghanistan or wherever. You just keep going around creating problems, though. Word's going to get out and everybody's going to be like, keep Fred and his friends out of the bar. Don't invite them. Don't let them in. Don't let them in the front door. They can bitch and complain all they want. And every time, oh, they want to come in the bar? Well, everybody else costs $5 to get in. You're going to cost $12.
Wouldn't that be a real bitch if, like, let's say all I knew how to do was go to the bar? Like, that's all I knew for, like, an escape.
I think that is all you know how to do. Keep going.
And then all the bars tell me, well, you can't go anymore.
Yeah.
What do you do if all you know what to do is go to the bar?
Right.
It's the same question. Like, if we have a huge army, we have a huge military, we have a huge force. We can't just keep it at home, right?
Right, of course. You got to do things with it.
Got to do something with it.
Or you just don't have to have it. See, that's the problem. Everybody wants to claim, oh, man, remember when the Constitution was made and this, that, and the other? Yeah, we didn't have an army.
No.
The army was literally a bunch of people who lived next door to each other that just grabbed their guns off their mantles and decided to go out and start shooting at a legitimate army. That was the army that the United States was. That's what you want, and that's who we are. We are not an army, per se. Like, we are not
the United States.
We are not Caesar.
Right.
We are not taking our armies across lands and just, like, taking over countries. That's not what we do. That is not what we do. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break here on the queue. And when we come back, we're going to talk about this new website. Oh, Fred, the new website.
Maybe. Ooh. I don't know.
Hoo-ah. Hoo-ah, yeah.
What was that impersonation?
It doesn't matter. Have you ever set booby traps? You like booby traps?
Well, yeah, I mean, when you were a kid.
Also, we're going to talk a little bit about my buddy Tony Cabral's Kickstarter campaign, this Tupacalypse thing, or not Tupacalypse.
Z-pocalypse.
And I don't know. We're going to talk about a bunch of things. And I burped. Yeah, it happened right here on the show. Ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned. We'll be back on the queue right after this. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the queue. Of course, Mark Bland, joined by Fred Slow today. And Fred, do you do a lot of traveling?
Yeah, on the regular.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Miss Travel bills itself as the number one travel dating website in the world. In the world.
Sure. I mean, I've never used it, but that's fine.
Quite a claim until you learn that it is also the only online dating website for travelers. Less impressive, perhaps. But then you arrive at the gist. We match generous travelers who hate to travel alone with attractive travelers who would love the opportunity to travel the world for free. So, in other words, it's the number one prosta-travel website in the world.
I love this.
Like, so think about this. You are a high-end businessman.
Yep.
You're single?
Yep.
You got money?
Yep.
And your company's paying for you to go wherever. But you don't want to go alone. So what do? They find this hot, big-tittied blonde chick. Yes, I said big-boobied blonde chick. I said tittied, actually. This big-boobied blonde chick.
Oh, the
who's
BBB.
Really hot. Smoking hot. Kind of girl you'd never get in a million years because you're too big of a tool bag because you're a conservative who works at some douchebag like a mortgage fund company or something like that.
We're talking about California Dimes.
Yeah, California Dimes. And she wants to go around the world.
Right.
All over the world. Wherever she can get to. It doesn't matter. She's going to go everywhere in the entire world. But she's going to do it for free on your dime. And she's going to sit there and she's going to tell everybody how hot she is for you, right? Nope. Fine. But what about a less comely freeloader who would also like to see the sights on Daddy Warbucks' dime, huh? Well, as Miss Travel puts it, one man's ugly horse is another man's beautiful stallion. Charming. Yep, even ugly women are allowed to be a part of this. If the questionable matchmaking model seems familiar to you, that might be because Miss Travel was founded by the infamous e-pimp Brandon Wade, the entrepreneur behind sugar daddy dating site SeekingArrangement.com and the sexless escort service What'sYourPrice.com. Sexless escort service What'sYourPrice.com.
Sound pretty legitimate to me.
Perhaps speaking from experience, Wade includes the following disclaimer in Miss Travel's liner notes. Remember, online dating is risky, and we will always recommend that our members practice a common sense approach when meeting a stranger online. Yes, even when the stranger is generous. This is basically screaming something to me, Fred. Can you guess what it's screaming to me?
The website says attractive people fly free.
That's right. Attractive people fly free, which basically means Mark and Fred are screwed.
Duh.
We don't have... Well, I got boobs.
I can't get to Chicago from
titties.
Here.
I can't. I do. They're right here. Look at my boobages.
I can't take the Amtrak with
Look
this
Look at
deal.
My boobages.
Like, I am screwed.
Yep. You ever been on the Amtrak?
Never.
It's horrible.
We were just talking about that.
5 hours. It's the exact same... It's the because you stop at train stops, it's the exact same amount of time that it would take for you to just drive in your car and then stop here in freaking, you know, the home of Superman, Bloomington, Illinois.
Metropolis.
Or, you know, Metropolis,
right.
Whatever. You know, stop four times on the way up to Chicago. It's the exact same thing. Except for you can listen to your own music. You can go at your own speed. If you want to get there a little faster, you can. You want to go a little slower. No, it's 5.5 hours solid on the train from St. Louis to Chicago.
It's only $12.
It's only 12 bucks. And if you really need to get up to Chicago and you just ain't got a car or anything like that, then that 12 bucks is worth it.
Right.
I mean, I'm not going to knock it.
No.
You know, honestly, if I was still wrestling when I was a wrestler, I would wrestle in different promotions, and some of them were up in Chicago.
Sure.
Now that I think about it, instead of driving my car like I did, I should have just took the train. But the problem is once you get up there to Chicago, how do you get around?
You know,
where are you going to go?
Who do you know? Right.
Who's going to pick you up from the train station and take you here and take you there? I don't know. I might be going to Vegas.
Just let me know.
You should go.
Ben.
I think it's going to be like the first week of August or the second week of August or something like that.
Yeah, let me just tell my wife.
Yeah, you guys should go. That'd be really awesome.
Whoa, hold on.
What's up?
We or I?
Well, I got a wife.
Oh,
she's going.
Well, yeah, we'll talk about it off the air.
All right, fair enough. Two men were jailed, Fred, for setting crude, nightmarish booby traps along the hiking trail, sir. Two men whose parents did not raise them well have been arrested in Utah after allegedly setting up potentially deadly homemade booby traps to ensnare travelers along a popular hiking trail. Oh, yeah. It's like the Running Man for hillbillies. Think about this. One of the traps was designed to send a tripped victim tumbling into a bed of pointy wooden stakes protruding from the ground. This is like something from The Walking Dead, like they would set up for like the zombies or something.
No, this is not that. This is something from Wile E. Coyote.
Another was to be triggered via a fishing line tripwire. When crossed it, it would send 20-pound boulder to which several sharpened spikes had been affixed with what looks like to be just tons and tons and tons of rope speeding at a victim's head. Yeah, like it's Indiana Jones and you got the damn idol in your hand. You know,
how do you move a 20-pound boulder?
Okay, now let's pause for a moment here, okay? And reflect for 1 second on how terrifying these things could potentially be. It would be almost less scary if it were like a medieval morning star or something. You know what I'm saying? It's more of a this homemade hillbilly. Seriously, hillbilly and chemistry.
In Utah.
Great mix. Hillbillies and chemistry. It's a good mix right there. Yeah. Nothing, you know they were doing something.
Nothing ever goes wrong with that equation.
Investigators tracked down the two men suspected of setting the traps. Benjamin Stephen Rutkowski, 19 years old, and Kai Matthew Christensen, 21, after receiving a tip that the suspects had bragged about the traps on their Facebook pages. 19, there it is. 19, you're a hillbilly setting traps on a popular hiking site like your Wile E. Coyote.
Right.
And then you go on to Facebook. That's like the stupid kids who get into the fist fight at some parties, and then they go and post the video, and like the video is used to basically just take down the other individuals and screw them over. So now there's more reason to hate them. And then they go to the bar again, and then they keep going back to the bar.
We covered this story on our show a couple weeks ago where some kids robbed a convenience mart in Detroit.
Okay.
And then right afterwards was on Facebook, and they were flashing handfuls of cash.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah,
that's genius.
They didn't last very long.
Sounds like a St. Louis thing. Sounds like somebody from St. Louis would do that. Then again, Detroit is behind us.
And what?
Murders and everything. No, crime and all of it. Oh, no, no. We're number one, remember? They got a news story on Fox and everywhere else. Every time St. Louis is number one on this and number one on that.
It's because Lambert. People hate to fly through here.
Lambert's home of the throat and roll? The cafe? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Oh, man. Go Flyers. All right. Cocaine.
Love it. I mean, what?
May actually accelerate brain aging.
Okay.
All drugs affect your brain differently. That's right. That's assuming, of course, that these drugs have a brain to affect in the first place. New research, Fred, reveals that the gray matter of chronic cocaine users actually melts away at the accelerated rate, suggesting that the brain of a cocaine addict ages faster than that of someone who abstains from the addictive stimulant. So basically what you're saying is here's another reason why cocaine is not a good thing. Stop it.
I would just say prove it, really.
No prove it. No, stop it. Just stop it. Don't do it. When it comes to brain matter, the study suggests that the gray stuff really does count. That's right, gray brain matter. Higher volumes of gray matter in the brains of the elderly, for example, are associated with superior cognitive abilities. No such correlation has been observed for white matter. In a study published in today's Molecular Psychiatry magazine.
Hey, a go-to reader of mine.
The go-to reader of, this would be actually what I consider bathroom fodder, okay? That's right. I hit it with the quotes. Bathroom fodder.
It's like the one free like download magazine you get when you buy like a new iPad.
Right. Exactly. We got anybody over there talking to us, chatting with us. In a study published in today's issue of Molecular Psychiatry, University of Cambridge neuroscientist Karen Ershe, you know, she worked really hard to be called a neuroscientist.
Right.
And her colleagues compared the loss of gray matter in the brains of 60 cocaine dependent volunteers against that of 60 subjects with no history of substance abuse. The difference was staggering. Do you realize what I just explained? I just thought about this as I'm sitting here listening. I'm cracking this open. This lady is paid a lot of money to drive really nice cars and live in a really nice house.
All the money.
She doesn't teach anybody anything.
Nope.
She doesn't fix anybody's head or do anything like that. Her job is literally all day long to go into a laboratory with a coat on, like a lab coat on, right? And just play around with brain matter and crazy stuff to learn about this stuff so she can submit findings to molecular psychiatry.
It's called practicing.
Neil, your buddy Neil.
Yep.
He throws trash.
Every day.
Every day.
That's actually my brother, but yeah.
40, Neil McCadden is your brother, and your last name is Fred Sloan.
No, my brother throws trash. Neil cleans the sewage.
Okay, it doesn't matter. 40 hours a week they throw trash.
Yeah.
They're not doing anything more or less than the psychiatry lady is, literally.
I see what you did there.
Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. And she gets paid a lot more money to probably fail. Okay, she's on the Albert Pujols Anaheim Angels track right now. She's getting paid a lot of money to fail horribly,
right?
Over and over. He's a horrible baseball player.
17 games without a
sucked
home run.
Here.
23 games.
He sucked
in a row
here.
Out the postseason.
He was horrible as a St. Louis Cardinal.
Well, it was a fluke, really. If you ask me, all 10 years.
All 10 years was a huge fluke.
Yeah.
Oh, but he's back in town to watch his kid's baseball team. Let's all give a crap. Okay.
Didn't hear that.
The team found that cocaine users lost an average of over 3 milliliters of gray matter per year. The non-users, on the other hand, averaged a loss of 1.69 milliliters. What's more, the accelerated loss in brain volume was shown to be most pronounced in the prefrontal and temporal cortex, regions of the brain important for things like attention, decision-making, and memory. So, don't do cocaine. Okay?
Wasn't that Lawrence
I don't want
Taylor?
You to do cocaine.
Yes.
Don't do it.
If there's one takeaway message, don't do cocaine.
Don't do cocaine. That's the one takeaway message. Have you ever been arrested?
No.
You've never been arrested?
Not once.
Have you ever been sent to in-school suspension?
Oh, once.
Have you ever been detention in general?
Yeah, I mean, I had a lot.
Like, you had in-school, but like just regular detention?
Oh, yeah.
A lot?
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
Really? I never had anything.
Okay.
I was in detention one time in my life, never been arrested. I've been questioned in a murder case before.
That's weird.
Yeah, it is. They had guns to the back of my head and me on my knees when I was like 20 years old in a place where they thought a murder had happened, but it hadn't happened there. That's where they found the dead body. They thought me and my buddy Jason, funny story. So me and my friend Jason, who passed away, God rest his soul, decided that we were going to go and goof around on this old BMX track that was down off of Motobottoms Road up in North County along the Missouri River, okay? Which is kind of close to the Ameristar Casino over there, okay? And there's which is by St. Charles, which is by that whole area where we used to do the show. And basically, there was an old BMX track. They shut it down, and I guess they had found a dead body there in November. Well, of course, me and my buddy, geniuses at 20 years old, decide we're going to take his B2000 Mitsubishi truck,
and set
which is
traps.
Going to bottom out on literally everything that we try to drive over,
right?
Because we're idiots and we're kids,
right?
And we're going to go goofing around in this thing at like 1 o'clock in the morning.
That's about right.
Because we had nothing better to do.
Right.
20 years old.
Booby traps.
Yeah, booby traps. Yes, cocaine, aged hair, booby traps, and chemistry. So we're in there driving around, and lo and behold, all of a sudden, we get hit with a spotlight.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, we start hearing cop cars. So eventually, they do the whole get out of the car, no, put your hands out the window, this, that, and the other. We're both wearing shorts and t-shirts. They get us out, put us on our knees. Now, mind you, this is like early March. It's probably 20 degrees out.
Yeah.
But we decided to jump in the car and turn the heater on, so that's why we're wearing like a jacket, shorts, some flip-flops, stupid shit like that.
Right.
Okay. They get us out on the ground, and they go, do you guys know why we have you held and detained? They thought we were the murderers of this person's body that they found
now
a few weeks earlier.
Your story makes more sense now, because when you said guns to the back of the head earlier, I thought you meant the murderers had.
No. The cops had like their shotguns to the back of our heads and had us in handcuffs. They thought we were the ones that murdered the body that they found, and we were coming back to the scene where we dumped it.
That's a weird thing to do.
It was not a weird, but see, it's not a weird thing, because how many true criminals do go back to the scenes of the crimes that they commit.
I don't watch
you
CSI.
Should. You live in Illinois.
What does that mean?
Yes. You live in Illinois. Like, that means
hey,
a lot.
Go down the East St. Louis Road again.
Let's, yeah.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. So, all right. I got something to talk about here. Mississippi's governor says that the Democrats' one mission in life is to abort children.
That's weird.
Okay. Fred. TooHeavyToSkydive.com. Make sure you check out his shows.
Appreciate that.
Fred, are you for or against abortion?
Yes.
Which one?
Yeah, that's right.
Are you choice, pro-life, or pro-choice?
I would say choice, for sure.
You're pro-choice.
Yeah.
Okay, now, Mississippi Governor Phil Bryant, he's a Republican, Go figure.
Yeah.
In defending his decision to sign a bill that could shut down Mississippi's only abortion clinic, told conservative radio host Tony Perkins this past week that Democrats' one mission in life is to abort children. No, it's not. We're going to talk about that in a second.
What's in Mississippi?
Nothing.
Biloxi?
David Banner?
They have like casinos there? David Banner?
David Banner from Mississippi.
I wouldn't have came up. Brett Favre?
Maybe he's from Mississippi. Maybe, Tunica.
Tunica, that's all I got.
Even if you believe in abortion, the hypocrisy of the left that now tried to kill this bill says that I should have never signed it. The true hypocrisy is that there's one mission in life is to abort children, and it's to kill children in the womb. That's right, Fred. It doesn't really matter. They don't care if the mother's life is in jeopardy, that if something goes wrong, that a doctor can't admit them to a local hospital, that he's not even a board-certified surgeon. Yeah. We passed that bill, and I think you'll see that other states follow when that happens. At least these flying abortionists are going to be regulated under the state laws of the Medical Procedures Act here in the state of Mississippi, as they should be across this great nation.
Wait, that doesn't even sound that crazy, though.
Yeah. The bill in question, HB 1390, requires that all physicians who perform abortions in Mississippi, would you stop that?
Oh, sorry.
Have admitting privileges at the local hospital and be board certified in obstetrics and gynecology. While all the physicians at the one clinic in the state are currently board certified OBGYNs, only one of them has admitted privileges to a local hospital. The two other physicians can't get privileges because they live out of state, and the owner of the clinic says it can't operate with only one doctor on staff. Following Brian's comments on the bill, Perkins took a dig at the Democrats who opposed it. Well, the driving factor is profit for many of them, he said. Okay, two things here. One, Democrats and liberals, and I'm a moderate, we're not all about aborting children. We've had this discussion on the show before. Two, the ones that are all about profits and money are the business owners that are Republican. It's not Democrats.
Where's the profit in aborting kids?
People do pay for people to do it properly. Like, you pay money to have an abortion.
No one's getting rich off that.
You'd be amazed at how many people get abortions, dude.
No, I'm not. Well, that I'm not amazed by.
Okay, well, if every one of them is popping $200 or $300 or $400 or $500 here and there to get an abortion, yeah, you're going to get rich.
Right, but if you regulate it, then you get rich that way. It's like the same thing, right?
They don't care about that. See, their problem is they go to church every Sunday, and they believe in the stories of a guy who was killed and then came back to life, like an episode of The Walking Dead.
You're talking about Jesus.
Right. It's like an episode of The Walking Dead. Do you see what I'm saying? And then they call everybody else crazy. Do you see what I'm saying? They call everybody else nuts. And I'm not against religion. I'm a big believer in religion, and I love it. But I'm also an agnostic. I tend to question things, and I don't have a problem doing that. My problem is that everyone assumes, and we've talked about this on the show, Fred, everyone assumes that if you're pro-choice, that means you're pro-death. No. No, 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 no. I, Mark Bland, and I'm sure Fred Slow agrees with me to an extent. I'll let him speak for himself. We would rather a person not choose to kill a child in an abortion. Like, if there is a choice there, we would rather them choose life over death. The difference between us and pro-lifers is that if they do choose death, we're not going to ridicule them and hold it against them. We're not just going to sit there and beat our heads against a wall like it's the worst thing in the entire world that's ever happened. We would wish that they choose life, but if they choose death, so be it. We're not going to we're not going to lose sleep over it. We're not going to lose sleep over it.
I can't tell anyone what to do.
Yeah.
Right.
That's right. You can't. You're too tall.
Actually, that's the reason I could. But it's not for me to say, and it's like one person, maybe two people, but me, Fred Slow, I'm not going to tell Jane Doe. Can't.
Yeah. Have not to. My place.
Not going to. Don't even care for real.
And you expect her not to tell you things.
I wouldn't.
I'm not going to tell you how to do. Don't tell me either. It's like a two-way street.
Right.
I get it. Like, but the people who are on the conservative side of things, they don't get it. They think their emotion dictates that they can say and do things because they go to church. They feel that they have the one up on people. I worked with a girl. Her name's Carrie. I don't even care about putting her name out there like this. Horrible, horrible, horrible situation that I was involved in. Okay? She went to church, had the biggest attitude in the world. Snottier than snotty can be.
Oh, I know that girl too.
Because she went to church.
Right.
She listens to this rock group that's Christian. She listens to Joy FM all day. She does this. Everything is church, 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 church. Now, she didn't beat people over the head with church. She wasn't one of those people. And I'm watching. Don't worry. I'm watching. She's not beating people over the head with her religion. But at the same point, anything that came up, it had to go through the religious rundown before it ever got through. Like,
no,
hey,
gauntlet.
You want that granola bar? Is that a Jesus Christ granola bar?
Right.
Or is that like a Smar bar? Or what is that? Like, you know, I'm just making names up over here. Like, you know, it had to go there. Like, what are you doing this weekend? Well, I got to make sure that I read my, you know, say my Hail Marys and do this. Like it was that serious. And the funny thing is, she was one of the more deceitful people that I've met in my life. Very deceitful.
You're meant to like a Catholic wedding.
God, oh my God, dude. People who are religiously backed, and I'm not against religion,
not
as
against
I said,
it.
But they, in some cases, are the most deceitful because they think they can get away with it. They'll be deceitful straight to your face because, especially on the Catholic side, they know I can go to confessional and just admit that I did all these things, and then that guy knows, and then he knows that I did this to so-and-so. So-and-so doesn't know that I screwed him over, but I did it on purpose. And then I just went to my priest and I told him, oh, and he told me to say 5 Hail Marys and, you know, 3 Who Art Thou, and, you know, watch a George Clooney movie and we're done.
It's almost like they're playing by like a rule book.
Serious.
That I don't play by.
They just play by their own rules. That's the problem.
And they know every in and out of those rules.
They're the first ones to tell you, you can't take my guns. You can't take my this. You can't take my that. You can't tell me who. You need to get Jesus in your life. They're the first ones to tell you all the things that you need to do or can't do to them.
Sure.
But the minute they tell you, you can't kill a baby or you can't have an abortion, well, then you're a piece of trash for not listening to him. No. You told me I can't take your guns. You told me I couldn't take your beer. You're going to love your child. You're going to use your Confederate flag. You're going to go worship Jesus Christ, and you're going to do all this stuff. And if I say anything about that, you're going to take it personally. So why are you getting mad when I take it personally that you tell me that I can't have an abortion? We both live in the same country. I want the same rights that you have to do what the fuck I want to do. That's what most of these people in this country like to go around like shooting their mouth off about. Freedom of speech. Do what I want to fucking do whenever I want to fucking do it. I get it.
Please?
I get it.
Please?
Everyone's going to fall under that category, though. Please? Not just the people you want to fall under the category.
Please, God, save me from your followers. That's a classic line.
Like, I would love for that to happen. I would love for people to get saved. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's almost time for us to get out of here on the show. But of course, as I do every single week on the show, letters from the listeners.
Finally.
Booyah. Yeah, best part of the show, of course, is not listening to me ramble on and being an idiot.
People actually fast forward, I think.
I think they do. Yeah. They fast forward straight to the letters. And by the way, let's talk about this. I got another letter. It's not here. I want to talk about it before the show is over with. You know, it does cost money to run this show. Some of that money comes out of my pocket whenever I can afford to do it. Some things don't. It's one of those situations where I really, really want you guys to support the show. If you like the show, I'm giving you free content every week. Fred?
Yes.
You were a fan of the show before I had you on it.
Yeah, fact.
You did.
Right.
You were a fan. Like, you found the show, you liked the show, you came on the show
yes.
a few times, and I come to find out that you had your own show, and I was just like, oh, dude, man, that's awesome. We should work together and stuff like that.
People who think alike.
And people who think alike, birds of a feather.
Right.
Birds of a feather. Okay. But being a fan of the show, if you want a show to continue on,
yes.
Like, I've got to keep the lights on. Fred has to keep the internet going. We all need people to help us out.
I tried to go to the podcast money tree.
Oh, dude, the guy went to me on the email and said, I love the show. I think it's fantastic. I'd love to donate, but I ain't got no money right now. Okay, I'm not asking you to actively donate.
Right.
But you could afford $5. Fred, when was the last time you spent $5? I bet you spent $5 on a beer alone. One beer, one bottle at a Cardinals game recently.
I've been to Vegas.
You've been to Vegas?
Right.
$5. $5 is a spit in the bucket. I spent $5 before I got here.
As we sit here, Mark,
now
your listeners at home having a beer, smoking a cigarette, watching their cable TV.
Yep.
They got $5.
They got $5. Now, I agree. There are people that believe that, you know, I want the fans of this show to jump in and support the show is what I'm asking for. But I don't ask you guys to support the show ever. I never get on like a soapbox about how you need to get on and help me out and spend a bunch of money with Mark Bland and make sure that the queue keeps up its thing. Every once in a while, I'll throw it out. I would love for you guys to donate. Go to thequnow.com, theqnow.com. Go to the contact page. Hit me up if you'd like to donate to the show. I'll hit you with a PayPal request for how much you're asking for, and then you can just pay it that way. Seriously, $1 can help. $2 can help. Anything can help.
I know you have like an educated fan base, and I know they understand like the more funds that come in, and we're in that day and age where it's where people think everything
the
is free.
The more funds that come in for this show, the better the show can be.
It's the bottom line. You want a t-shirt? We're not at the point where you can have a t-shirt.
I can't have a t-shirt right now because I don't have t-shirts to sell or give people. I'd love to be able to give away t-shirts for the show. Can't do it right now. Until you guys start helping me fund the show, until you guys start throwing a dollar here or a dollar there, I can get one t-shirt made up, but who's going to wear that t-shirt, you think? Probably me, because I'm the only one who's got the money to do it.
I would wear it.
I'm sure you would. Right. I'm sure you would. Anyway, if you want to donate, theqnow.com, go to the contact page. Also, go to theqnow.com for past episodes. Last week, on the last show, we had Kiwan from the St. Lunatics on the show.
Good episode.
It was a great episode. We had Tony Cabral, and he just started a Kickstarter campaign, which if you get a chance, go to acefilms.com, check out his Kickstarter campaign. You are getting ready to start a Kickstarter campaign.
It's in the works. We don't talk about things before they're happening, but we have a thing in the works, and it's a big proposal. Kickstarter is not a joke.
Right. You got so many days to do it before you get done.
Right.
If you go to acefilms.com, my buddy Tony, who was on the show last week, he's in the middle of his right now.
And Tony's project, whatever it is. And
the two movies.
You do not donate unless he reaches his goal. His project does not get made unless his goal is met. If you're not familiar with Kickstarter.com, you pledge, and I just pledged to Zpocalypse, a board game that I've had on my show several times,
$10.
Zpocalypse
doesn't... Why didn't you support the queue? Why didn't you send that $10 this way?
You didn't have a Kickstarter campaign.
Who needs a Kickstarter campaign? You could have gone and contacted theqnow.com and just donated $10 to the show.
I will give you $10 out of my pocket if you feel like that will make you...
Give it to Neil, because I owe him. All right. Oh, yeah. All right. So here's where... But I see what you're saying. You know, Zpocalypse, board game for guys who like Dungeons & Dragons but want to play zombie stuff.
Keep going.
There it is. That's it. They're not going to have any girlfriends, so it's done.
$210,000.
$210,000 is how much that they raised.
Their goal was $15,000.
$15,000, and they raised $210,000.
Good for them.
But that's because it was a genius idea.
Brilliant.
If you got a good idea, like if you're not just one of another, like, okay, nothing against Tony. Love Tony. Do support his Kickstarter campaign. Help this guy make his films. I think they're going to be fantastic. But Tony's two films are two of like 800 films Kickstarter is in the middle of doing right now.
Today. Right.
Like, so people who go through the page are looking at 800 different films. Which ones do they support? Which ones that they don't support? Don't know.
No, I feel you.
It's tough for them to decide. But you see the one board game for the zombie apocalypse. One zombie apocalypse board game. Booyah. I'm in.
And it's not.
Where do you sign up? It's the only board game doing that.
And it's like you were saying earlier, like yeah, you're making a plea to your listeners, but you're not commanding or demanding your listeners.
Of course not.
No, because you give what you can, you put in what you think it deserves, but this is an avenue for people to come to and support, really. And it's all, and with me and you and some local guys we have here in St. Louis, support can be rare.
It's very rare in the city of St. Louis. Everybody thinks, Mark, you're always downing on St. Louis people and you're a St. Louis hater. I'm not a St. Louis hater. I'm a realist, and I've been around enough St. Louisans because I'm born and bred and still live here. And at the age of 36, I've been around enough of you. I know how you think and I know how you run. You only support what you're told to support. You only like what's famous and popular. You don't give a crap about low totem pole people that are trying to make it out of the town. The only one you ever did that for was Nelly. And it's the only one you're ever going to really support like that. Everybody else had to leave and go make it on their own and come back famous before you even gave a crap. You probably didn't even know 90% of the damn cast of Mad Men as well as The Office is from St. Louis. But once the show becomes popular and Steve Carell's on it, she's from St. Louis. He's from St. Louis. We got St. Louis people all day long. Why isn't Tim Azell and these morning shows calling Mark Bland in the queue up? I got a nice national fan base of 6,000 plus members that listen to this show on a weekly fan base. There's radio shows in St. Louis where the guys get paid a salary per year. They don't even have the fan base I have. But I can't make a dime off of my fan base, and they get paid a salary at a crap radio station where they're not where there's just no talent really on the air.
2.5 million people in the metro area.
Yep. 2.5 million, and I can't even get a fan base here. Because they're just, you know what? And that's why. Screw the Blues. You got rid of Brett Hall. I left you then, and I still leave you. Go Flyers.
Shanahan.
Yeah. You got rid of Adam Oates and Shanahan and Wayne Gretzky and all these damn great players. And guess what? When you got rid of Chris Pronger, guess who picked him up? Philadelphia Flyers, dumbasses. And we turned around and we went to some championships because you're idiots. Okay. Letter time before we get out of here. Mark, I missed last week's episode of The Q. Was it any good? And I am a big fan of the letter section. Yeah, last week's show was good. What do you think, Fred? With Kiwan, Tony was on there. It was a pretty good show.
Surprisingly good. Yeah. I went in, not say low expectations, but everyone, it was good. It was really good. So that,
what'd you think of Kiwan?
More well-spoken than I expected.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah. A lot.
More educated than I expected.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people don't realize he's closer to my age. He's a smart dude, and, you know, he's been around a lot.
I had no clue.
Yeah. I'm a freshman in college. I just turned 19, and I've never been kissed or even had a serious boyfriend. I was totally fine with this in high school. I went to a very small school, and so the guys in my grade felt too much like brothers to go out with. In ninth grade, I went out on a few dates with a junior, but I was shy, and he was much more experienced, and we stopped dating a little awkwardly. The next year, we randomly ended up interning at the same company, and I started to like him a lot. But he was leaving for college, and he didn't seem interested. Junior year, I found out that he was, and we reconnected briefly over winter break, but decided not to date long distance. There were other guys, friends of mine, who expressed interest, but I didn't connect with any of the way in that way with any of them. There were significant relationships by any means, but there was enough of a teenage intrigue to occupy my time and make me feel wanted. I had my own crushes. I was on student council and the honor roll, and I had an inseparable best friend and great group of larger friends. I am very close with my family. Sometimes I feel impatient. I felt impatient and wondered when I would meet a guy and things might stick with. But overall, I was happy. I've always been confident in my looks. I love clothes and makeup. I'm an athlete. I even did a little modeling in high school. I was always fine with waiting and trusted the good things would happen in college. And that's where it ends.
Not
so I guess the question is, what? Did you just call to let me know all that? Like, did you hit me up? Like, I guess I should have read this before I put it on here because it seemed like an interesting one when I went through the first half of it. But I guess, are you not kissing? Are you looking for, when is the right guy going to come along?
I think the question is, Mark, do you think I'm long-winded?
I think you're long-winded and you just wrote a bunch of crap to me. You're going to have to send me this. We have to, okay, we're going to move on to the next one. That one is like, Mark. I'm a straight man. Mark, I'm a straight man from high school through college and after. I loved me some women. Then I met my present girl 10 years ago. I fell hell over heels with her, and I still love her, but little by little, she's becoming boring to me. Our sex life has cooled. Days run together, and mundane activities like watching TV, going to the store, and hanging out with our kids occupy my time now. We own a house. We're financially stable, and we look very traditional, but I am far from conservative. I love nightlife, crazy friends, and good drinks. She was aware of this when we met because we ran into the same circles. My boredom is compounded by the craving for sex with other women. Doesn't matter who, the girl at the coffee shop, the checker at Whole Foods, every chick in the gym, I'm up to my eyeballs in covet. I want out. I want to be the father to my kids and take care of my wife financially, but I want out. I am a few years from 40. What's the best course of action? Well, I've got two kids. I've got a wife. I'm a few years from 40. And yeah, I caught myself checking out other girls. It's okay to look every once in a while. You're not playing on the actual, you know, trying to make out with them or get with them or anything like that. It's okay to look, though. You know, like, you're going to see good-looking women everywhere. Girls are going to see good-looking dudes everywhere that are not their husband. I get it.
Me and this guy basically are the same. We're the exact same guy.
Okay. So you want to know, like, what's the best course of action? Well, if you want to kill these kids and ruin their childhood, then, yeah, get rid of them. Get rid of them, get rid of the wife, move on, go single, see them on the weekends, and booyah. Yeah, you're going to ruin their life. Because those kids think of mommy and daddy as one solid unit.
You have to cheat up.
Yeah, you do got to cheat up. Like, you can't cheat down, dude.
No.
You can't hit the checker at Whole Foods unless she is way hotter. Like, if she's like 23 years old, but super smoking hot, but she's not as smart as your wife, you know what I'm saying? I guess that there's like, oh, it's a one-time thing with a 23-year-old at Whole Foods who's super hot, but she's not as smart. Like, if you're going to cheat up all the way. Good looks and like a doctor.
That was the knock on Tiger, because good for Tiger for cheating all that. Yeah. But he cheated down.
Yeah, I wouldn't say he cheated down. They're just all good-looking women. They're just good-looking women. It was all about sex for him, though. It wasn't about, oh, I need someone else who's making as much money as me. He's not going to bang Ann Coulter. And she's horrible looking.
I don't even know who that is.
Exactly. That's how bad looking she is. What would you do? What would you tell this guy to do?
As a guy who like constantly gets like the look and like yelled at and like told, don't talk to her anymore and delete her number from your phone. I feel you, bro. Like, just.
I feel do you think you should cheat? I mean,
no, you don't do it. But I feel you. Like, I don't cheat. But you think about it a lot every day.
You know, they made a website, AshleyMadison.com, like where people who want to cheat with each other can get together in very discreet manners. And it's an extremely popular website.
You just got this girl's profile on.
Yeah, here's a 19-year-old who just turned 19. She's never been kissed or even had a serious boyfriend. I think that's where she was going with that. I think she was trying to basically say, I've never been kissed or had a serious boyfriend. When is it going to happen for me? And it's never going to happen when you're so long-winded. Because the guy's going to like finish his beer and have to go get another one before you actually get to the point.
This is typed on her iPhone.
So it's probably, yeah, if you're typing full like messages on your iPhone, like 400 word messages on your fucking text, you got issues.
What was the name of that movie where the girl had never been kissed? The girl from E.T.?
Drew Barrymore?
Yeah.
She'd never been kissed. Terrible. Until she went to a Boston Red Sox game.
That's a different movie, but yes.
Was it? I thought it was the Boston Red Sox game. I thought she went at the end. He catches her at the Boston Red Sox game. You know who else goes to Boston Red Sox games? Adam Sandler, when he's dealing with anger.
I thought that was the one I was going to do, where he was like a teacher.
Yeah.
I don't watch a lot of movies.
You don't watch a lot of movies. You don't watch a lot of sports either, because you're obviously a fan of the absolutely wrong teams. St. Louis Cardinals, brand new franchise. Hopefully they'll win something.
Mark
eventually.
Is looking right at my autographed 1944.
Oh, you didn't get... That's not a 1940...
Style.
No. It is a replica that probably is a fake replica. It says Mitchell and Ness, but you could have put that
Mitchell
tag on
and Ness is the most legit throwback.
No,
of all
I can get a Mitchell and Ness fake Mitchell and Ness from any local flea market over by a MetroLink.
$300 price tag on it, plus $150 Stan Musial autograph. Put it all together in a frame. Let's say $700.
Let's just say that. But if it was on Storage Wars or one of those cheesy shows where like if you went to Pawn Stars,
right,
and you took it, they'd be like, "I'll give you $3.52 for it." You'd be like, "I don't think I'm going to sell it, dude. You're not going to get a better offer. You're just not going to get one."
Can I get $10 in store credit?
You know, it's great because I'm a huge fan of Stan Musial.
And it looks
of
good. Course. Right?
It looks beautiful. Right. And Stan Musial, a legend in baseball. But then you got the picture of John Mayer half naked behind your head. It kind of takes it down a level. I don't think Stan would be digging on it.
Too Heavy to Skydive and TooHeavyToSkydive.com likes to party.
Oh, yeah, they do. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for us to get out of here on the show. I want to thank Fred Slow for being on the show. Thank you so much for having me over here to the Too Heavy to Skydive studios. Check out TooHeavyToSkydive.com.
Appreciate that.
And also working on a couple of decent interviews for upcoming shows, so stay tuned for that, just like the Kiwan one that we had. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and go to theqnow.com for more info on the show and everyone around it. Hopefully, new content, new things are going to be popping up. Also, don't forget to make sure and check out the weekend live show on Westplex. Newstalk.com, 1280 a.m. Fox News affiliate here in St. Louis every Saturday from noon to 2.
Can I interject?
Sure.
That's a good show.
Did you like it?
What you do over there is good.
It's horrible. It is literally shoot from the hip, and I need to do it better. But also, donate to the show and help out. If you like it, donate. Hit us up on the contact page on theqnow.com. As little as a dollar can be very helpful.
6,000 listeners give me $1.
Yeah.
Next week's episode's the best.
Yeah, the best ever. I would have me in a sombrero eating hot dogs.
A little toasty.
From eating hot dogs and toasted ravioli from a spot on the hill while dancing to Party Anthem. Party Rock Anthem by that one group.
From the commercial.
Yeah, from the commercial. I might even dress in a hamster thing like they did in the one commercial.
That's the one I'm
Party rocking to the no. house tonight.
The dance won't translate to audio.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening to The Q. This is Mark Bland for Fred Slow. We're out of here. God bless America. God bless all of you. See you next time on the show. Being caged down, everything I write is played out. Like, what is this? Tear the whole page down. Man, I come from holes in the wall, but they